WWIB, Mabel Louise and I just visiting there on the phone, and all of a sudden realized, you know, we ought to take this on the air with us.
Okay.
Just talking a little bit about the rain and all the changes that are going on here in springtime, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. And you know what? Ordinarily, I'd say when it was a rainy day, to smile and lift somebody up.
Yes.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. Most people are housebound and... And they can't do that, but they can smile to the family members and have a happy face. So stay tuned and let me talk to you about spring, okay? Shall I proceed, Pat? I assume I can go. Is that okay? All right. Well, good morning. Mm-hmm. I'll start all over. Yes, it's here. It's here. I don't know about you, but I've been waiting for those nice temperatures. Yeah, the 60s and 70s. And these past few days have been so beautiful. So I guess I'll use my usual term that I've used all through the ages. Spring has sprung. Are you aware of it? Of course you are. And perhaps you're wondering what evidence I have to make that statement. Well, first of all, it's in my heart. And when I see those buds on the trees and see those little birds coming back and singing their little hearts out, I know that spring has come and to stay. And how wonderful it is to hear that friendly woodpecker pounding on the door of our oak trees. Yes, and they're making preparations for their little family. Spring is such an exciting time for me. I anticipate the newness of life all around us. And you know what? I want the same in my own life. I'm reminded of Romans 6:4. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's always enjoyable to purchase something new, even if it's some tiny object. And it's also a joy to stop by your flower bed in the springtime and see those greens coming up, popping through that crusty soil. Yes, that is newness of life. And I want a new touch from the Lord. Do you? Certainly we need it in these troublesome times. And I want a new song in my heart, singing along with all the beautiful music that comes over the airwaves on WWIB. And I want a cheerful attitude. It's so easy to get down in the dumps with all that's surrounding us and circumstances. But you know what? We can think about the Lord and how good he is to us. I guess it's time we start counting our blessings and realizing that everything's going to be okay. And so if we can hear the words of the Savior who would be saying, "Well done, our good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." And I like the ending as a result. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know what? Our Lord's provided so many beautiful things for us. We just have to take time and look around and enjoy them. We no longer need to look for joy. Joy finds us. It surrounds us. And naturally, the greatest joy of all comes from the gift of salvation, knowing where you're going to spend eternity. What could be better than that? So that's what I want to share with you today. The joy of the Lord is our portion. I'm so thankful living in Wisconsin that we have four seasons. And every time it changes, I think, oh, I just love this time of the year. And you know what? It's really hard to decide, except at my age, I'm always thankful when there's not a lot of that old deep white snow. Really, isn't it hard to imagine living someplace where there is no change in seasons? We have so much to look forward to in Wisconsin, especially in our Chippewa Valley. So you'll have to come and visit us if you live in some distant place. We have so many lakes and so many wild animals. You've heard me say over the years that my house is built on the edge of a wooded area. So it's not uncommon for me to look out the window and see a deer, a fox, or turkeys, squirrels, rabbits, chipmunks, and all kinds of birds. And it's also wonderful to be able to drive into Chippewa Town and go through Irvine Park and see the animals in the zoo. How can I help but praise the Lord when we have all these wonderful things that surround us? It's good, isn't it, to be reminded that when we have changes in seasons, to remember and thank the Lord for all that he's allowed us to enjoy. So I want to talk to you from Psalms and also from Job. Job 26, 7 through 14. Let me read it to you, okay? Job starts out and says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." Yes, our old world is going around and around and around and hanging on nothing. Imagine it. "He bindeth up the waters in thick clouds, and the cloud is not torn apart under those clouds." Have you ever thought about it, what it would be like if God didn't have control of the rain? When you're out in the rain and those little drops fall on your face and it's so soft and nice. And wouldn't it be awful if all that rain would come down in one time? Ouch! Well, the Amplified Bible says, "which otherwise would spill on earth all at once." That wouldn't be very good. And then it goes on to say, "The Lord covers the face of his throne and spreads over it his cloud. He has placed an enclosing limit, or the horizon, upon the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of the heavens tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stills or stirs up the sea by his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his breath the heavens are garnished. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Yet these are but a small part of his doings. The outskirts of his ways are the mere fringes of his force, the faintest whisper of his voice. Who dares contemplate, or who can understand the thunder of his full magnificent power?" Just think about it. In the vast expanse of the universe, in the space and distance of 50 billion galaxies, God singled out one galaxy for a special purpose. Of all the millions of stars in that galaxy, he chose one star to be the center of a special solar system. Of the nine planets in the solar system, he prepared one planet with just the right amount of water, just the right amount of heat, just the right amount of light and air to be a wonderful and beautiful home for you and me. Think about it. He created us on top of it in his own image. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but this just blows my mind. Scientists have searched and searched for another galaxy with people on it, but so far as we know, now, right now, they have found nothing. Yes, God did all of this for you and me. And in spite of all these blessings, think about it. We have rejected his sovereignty and alienated ourselves from him. Why? Because of our sins. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to bring us back to himself. Jesus, the precious Son of God, gave up his power and his glory to take on the form of a human being, to die for you and me, and to redeem us, and to make it possible for us to have a beautiful relationship with God. Can you imagine that in lieu of all of this, that the Lord calls us his children? What love and what compassion he has for each one of us. I hope you know today that he loves you so much. And all we can do is fall down on our knees and praise and worship him. Let me end the broadcast today with reading. I have my Bible open right beside me. And let me read Psalm 8, 3 through 9. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visitest him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let me end with an illustration by Helen Keller. Let me read what she said. You remember that Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. She had the wrong drops put in her eyes, and as a result, she lost her eyesight. And one day she was asked by a young boy, "Isn't it the worst thing in the world to be blind?" And with a big smile, here's what she said, "It's not half so bad as to have two good eyes and not to see anything." Well, she went on, "Many people with sharp eyesight and good hearing seem totally unaware of the beautiful sights and the pleasing sounds all around them. They never even notice the majesty of the trees, the tranquility of the lakes, or the splendor of the skies. They fail to hear the melodies of the birds or the gentle rustling of the leaves. God is pleased when we delight in the wonders of his creation and praise him for them." Isn't it wonderful, she said, to know all the blessings and all the good things the Lord has given us. And so I guess I can end the broadcast by saying, We need to learn to enjoy nature's beauty. You know what? It's the handwriting of the Lord. Have a good day and look about, won't you? Goodbye.
Thank you, Mabel Louise. Yes.